Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, as you may have been hearing in the news over the last day, the Pew Research Center has released a survey that they say is the first to measure the attitudes and experiences of American Muslims. It's called Muslim Americans, Middle Class, and Mostly Mainstream. It seems like the press is focusing on the mostly part in that title, but to widely varying degrees. Now, here are some of the headlines that we collected from different sources in the last day. We thought you'd be interested in some of these comparisons. Check out the range. From the BBC, U.S. Muslims tend to feel positive about U.S., but not always welcome. From the Washington Post, U.S. Muslims assimilated, opposed to extremism. Los Angeles Times, 80% of U.S. Muslims say suicide bombings are not justifiable. And then we have the AP, going slightly in another direction. Some U.S. Muslims say suicide attacks okay. And another AP headline, poll, 1 in 4 younger U.S. Muslims support suicide bombings. And finally, the New York Post from yesterday, time bombs in our midst, 26% of young U.S. Muslims back killings. So those are some of the various headlines that you may have seen or heard. But what exactly did the Pew poll discover about American Muslim attitudes, about suicide bombing, and lots of other things? Let's look more closely at the numbers and the wording of the questions and what they might mean with two guests. Zahid Bukhari is a member of the Pew Research Center's advisory board. He's also director and principal investigator of the Pew project called MAPS, which stands for Muslims in the American Public Square. He's also a fellow at the Georgetown University Center for Muslim-Christian Understanding. Dr. Bukhari, welcome to WNYC. Good morning.
Well, good morning. Thank you, Brian.
And also with us is Lina Al-Husseini, Executive Director of the Arab American Family Support Center, a community group here in New York. Lina Al-Husseini, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I don't want to overinterpret any of these findings, but I don't want to underinterpret them either. Let's see what we've got. This big headline number, Dr. Bukhari, is 80% told the pollsters that they would never support suicide bombings of civilians to defend Islam, but 13% said they would on rare occasion. 26%, about a quarter of those under 30 years old, said they would. Do you want to tell me what the question was trying to get at?
Actually, basically, the Pew people, they want to compare it with the Muslim minorities in other European countries and also a Muslim population around the globe. So here, I think in America, the Muslim population, the composition of the Muslim here is very much different than European Muslim minorities. So I think the overall trend, and including this question, proves that the Muslim here, they have a somewhat different point of view about integration, about this issue. They are critical about the American foreign policy, but they are also critical about the some extremism, any trends among different Muslim communities.
I'm going to read the actual wording of that question that's getting all the attention, just so people know what respondents to the survey were actually asked. It's question H1, and it says, some people think that suicide bombing and other forms of violence against civilian targets are justified in order to defend Islam from its enemies. Other people believe that no matter what the reason, this kind of violence is never justified. Do you personally feel that this kind of violence is often justified to defend Islam, sometimes justified, rarely justified, or never justified? So, Dr. Bukhari, the answer that's getting all the attention is the 13% who said rarely justified, because that's taken as a yes. Is that correct?
No, it's not. It's not the yes. Rarely justified, somewhat, and often justified, all, I think they lump in that.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, all together, that's right. So 5% said rarely justified, 7% said sometimes justified, and 1% said often justified. So what do you think that means?
Means if you ask any question to any general public American, that if somebody attack America, should we attack them to them, or should we do all type of activities for the for saving America? Would you like to sacrifice your life for America? You will find definitely these type of percentages.
You're saying if you ask any large group of Americans, but do you think, I see, so you're saying if we ask Christian Americans.
I'm sorry, here this somewhat justified. They are not asking, there's no follow-up questions on what type of issue, whether you will be attacked first or any occupation is involved, any attack is involved, what type of attack. So there are several, I think, interpretation could be done. But I think the main thing is the perspective is when you compare with Muslim minorities in other countries, and also same type of questions or situation when you ask the other groups of the population.
Well, maybe they would have to be on other activities. So you're saying if you turned it around and said and surveyed a group of Christians or a group of Jews and asked them the same thing. Some people think that suicide bombings and other forms of violence against civilian targets are justified in order to defend Christianity from its enemies, or Judaism from its enemies, or the United States from its enemies, or Israel from its enemies. Do you personally feel that this kind of violence is often justified to defend the United States, Christianity, whatever, sometimes justified, rarely justified, or never justified? You think we would get about the same breakout?
I think so. I think that will be a very interesting research question. I think if you ask this type of question to all, and then we compare it. But because here, when you are reading the news, the different headlines, it's very interesting because that also gives the bias of that particular
news organization.
News organization or the newspaper.
So, but to put it as starkly as possible, from the New York Post headline, does this mean that there is likely a small but dangerous minority of young Muslims who are potential recruits for Al-Qaeda or others intent on attacks in the United States?
No, I think it is too much reading from these type of one question and one some results. It's too much. It's like in any sport of Ku Klux Klan or any sport of any very extreme racial groups or militia or all those, and then translating it to these type of headlines.
Brian, may I say something here?
Yeah,
as well?
I was just going to ask you the same question.
Well, I think, to me personally, what I got out of this research is that the majority of Muslim Americans are Americans who are loyal to this country, love living in this country, are totally assimilated, love living in their communities, and this spans, older generations. I think I think this is more of a wake-up call. We've been doing something right for many years, obviously, since we're ahead of every other country in terms of assimilation. I think the question is, why are young people feeling this way? And is there something we can do? I think this is more of a wake-up call that we need to integrate and we need to involve and we need to engage the young people. It could be post 9/11, I don't know what the factors were that have made young people feel a little bit disengaged, and I think that's our challenge.
Well, being that you run a community group that supports Arab American families,
right?
Do you have any theories?
I do. I mean, we work with all religious groups, and we work with we work actually with all communities, and we try to engage our youth with many different communities. We have partnerships with the Jewish groups, with Hispanic groups, with African American groups, and it's been extremely successful.
Well, what do you do primarily? Your group is called the Arab American Family Support Center. What does that mean you do day to day?
Well, we're primarily a social services organization, so we work social services with the Administration of Children's Services, offering help and support to families. We have youth programming, after school, aftercare. I mean, basically supporting them in everything, leadership training, integration, and partnerships with different community groups. We work domestic violence. We have a legal program. We have a health program. So we basically are a one-stop shop for the needs of new immigrants and Arab Americans. And we've seen it really is extremely important to integrate and to assimilate and to really involve our youth, especially new immigrants. I mean, once you open a dialogue and once you create, you educate everyone, basically, both sides on who the other is, I think you find changes happen and acceptance happens. And that's clearly evident from the, you know, 8 in 10 U.S. Muslims say they're either they're very happy or pretty happy. They feel their communities are welcoming. They feel they are proud to be American. They believe in the American dream. They believe in you know, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So I think that's very important, and that's extremely encouraging.
Dr. Bukhari, what do you make of the split on that question that's been getting all the attention by age, the fact that 13% of the general Muslim American population said that suicide bombings might sometimes or rarely be justified, but 26%, about a full quarter of those under 30, said that.
Means among this youth, I think they are more educated. They feel more about the policies. I think it's a both way. It goes to the education is going both way. The community leaders and the religious leaders, they should work in the community, and they have been working. And I think American Muslim is a success story in that regard. But the other point also, I think, if you say the overall survey, discrimination Muslims feel, yes, there are almost 63% saying that they have some kind of discrimination after September 11. But still, they are over a very vast majority. They are satisfied living here. Then again, on the issue of the foreign policy, they have very much dissatisfaction with Iraq and war on terror and all other. There are some other national study also, the Pew-funded project maps, as you mentioned in my introduction. Mm-hmm. And we did two times, 2001 and 2004, two national studies of American Muslim through Zogby International. And this study also very much confirming all those results about the diversification, about being in the mainstream, and all other type of questions. So here I think the issue is what I felt overall researching all Muslim community and talking to the community, working in the community, what is happening in the macro level? America is American government, they would like to win hearts and mind of the Muslim all over the globe. But for them, their New Hampshire primary is the American Muslim community. If they are not winning this primary, they cannot win the Muslim globe, because here we see that Muslims are here. This study is showing 68 countries. Another study showed that Muslims are here from 80 different countries. So we have a small replica of the Muslim globe living right here in the United States. They are professional, they are educated, they are expert. They are not partner on the policy debates. They should be partner on those debates. And also the community leader, as they have been working, I think they should work hard with the accommodating youth, their desire, their aspiration. Then I think the situation will be is evolving. I think continuously is improving, regardless of those discrimination complaints, regardless of complaints about foreign policy. Mm-hmm. General public, Muslim public is very much participating in the American socio-political process.
And Ms. Al-Husseini, I don't know if you looked at the numbers in this survey since it came out this week, but just to look at some of the other headlines from the news organizations I mentioned at the top, the BBC headline on the overall results of the survey, and you know, we've been talking so far about one question out of dozens and dozens of questions. U.S. Muslims tend to feel positive about U.S., but not always welcome. That was the BBC headline. The Washington Post headline on the overall survey, 80% of U.S. Muslims, I'm sorry, it says U.S. Muslims assimilated opposed to extremism. Do you think that compares favorably to Muslim populations in other Western countries? We've seen, you know, the riots in France and the widespread disaffection there among their Muslim youth, for example. So when we see a Washington Post headline on this survey, U.S. Muslims assimilated, or BBC headlines, U.S. Muslims tend to feel positive about U.S., interpret that for us.
I mean, it's obviously extremely positive. I think here in the U.S., we've been doing something right for, you know, at least 100 years at assimilating Muslim Americans. And obviously, from the responses, Muslim Americans feel they are Americans first, they're loyal to this country, they're totally you know, totally assimilated. So obviously we've been doing something very positive, and something's been working for us, you know, as opposed to other countries. I think it could be, and this is my theory, I mean, according to this study, a third of Muslim Americans experienced an act of intolerance over the past 12 months, for instance. I mean, this new tide of intolerance and distrust and ostracizing a part of the community, I mean, that could be going down the wrong way. I mean, that could explain some of the things we're seeing with the younger generations who grew up, you know, feeling all this intolerance and misunderstanding about Islam, and they might feel, you know, like they don't belong and they're not engaged in the community.
And Dr. Bukhari, since you were involved in the study, I'm just going to read another number here, one that hasn't gotten as much press, a couple of them actually. Question one was, overall, how would you rate your community as a place to live? This is a survey of American Muslims around America. And 72% said good or excellent, their community as a place to live.
Yeah.
Question two, generally, how would you say things are these days in your life? Would you say you are very happy, pretty happy, or not too happy? And 78% said very happy or pretty happy. That would seem, I don't know the numbers for Americans overall, but that would probably be pretty consistent with Americans overall, I would guess, Dr. Bukhari. So I guess that's an indicator of American Muslims having roughly the same attitudes toward their communities and their lives as Americans in general, and that might not be the case about Muslims in Britain or Muslims in France.
No, absolutely. You are absolutely right. Actually, what is happening that, first of all, when we compare American Muslim community and European Muslim community, the composition and demographic of Muslim communities are different here when compared with the Europe. Over there in each country, you have Muslim from one or two or three countries. For example, in Germany, more Turkish are there. In France, more Algerian and Moroccan. In Belgium, more Moroccan and Turkish. In England, more Pakistan, India, and Bangladesh. Here, we have a very diverse community, number one. Then here, the more educated, more professional, and the gap between the first generation and second generation is less compared to Europe. That's the one point. Other is that the host society behavior is also different. American society behavior is different. Generally, American society is more American society accepts more generally immigrants and all other new groups. Yes, there are problems, but overall, those new groups, they have been accepted here.
It's kind
Europe,
of a,
that is not the issue.
It's kind of a paradox too, because U.S. foreign policy is seen as less tolerant.
Yeah, but that's the third point I'm saying, society than the government behavior.
Yes, society here.
After September 11 is worse. I think it is very negative, and Muslims and all other groups, I think they have been raising those points, or the freedom and the Muslim civil rights, they have been crushed. So those points are being raised. They are also manifested here in the survey. So all those components, the immigrant or the new community, the host society, and the government behavior. Here, I think the immigrant community and the new Muslim community and the host society, they are performing much better than the European
okay.
component.
Okay. We'll continue in a minute with Zahid Bukhari, who is a consultant to this Pew Research Center on survey on American Muslim attitudes, and Lena Al-Husseini from the Arab American Family Support Center here in New York. We will add a third guest, David Harris from the American Jewish Committee, and we will take your phone calls. American Muslims, you've been hearing all these stories. How would you answer some of these survey questions, and what do you think of the reporting of them? 212-433-WNYC, or anyone else may call 212-433-9692 or email brianlehrershow@wnyc.org. Brian Lehrer at WNYC. Here's an invitation for any of you interested in immigration. Are you free tonight? Join me in person tonight at 6:30 at the New School. I'll be hosting a public event called Feet in Two Worlds. It's a town hall meeting about immigration policy and the immigrant experience with members of the ethnic and mainstream press. Reservations are free, but you need to call and make them at 212-669-3333 or see the events page at WNYC.org. Hope to see a lot of you there tonight. We continue now to talk about this survey of American Muslim attitudes, what people are saying about when terrorism is justified, how good a place their communities in the United States are to live, and many other things with Dr. Zahid Bukhari, a professor at the Center for Muslim Christian Understanding at Georgetown University and a member of the Pew Research Center's advisory board. Pew conducted the survey. Also, Lena Al-Husseini, executive director of the Arab American Family Support Center, a community group in New York, here in New York. And also joining us, David Harris, executive director of the American Jewish Committee. Dr. Harris, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. I'm sure you've seen the headlines that this has gotten from the New York Post, which says time bombs in our midst, 26% of young U.S. Muslims back killings, to the Washington Post, which says U.S. Muslims assimilated, opposed to extremism. How much have you looked at the survey, and how do you interpret it?
I see both good news and some disturbing news, Brian. I think the good news has been discussed already by your guests and by some of the positive headlines. Particularly compared to data from Europe, the assimilation process here in the U.S. Really is quite encouraging. And the widespread rejection of extremism and terrorism by most of the respondents in the survey needs to be welcomed. At the same time, I found three things that also need discussion. Firstly, of course, the fact that some 40% of the respondents believe that Arab men carried out the attacks on 9/11 suggests that the majority of respondents do not agree. I find that very troubling. Secondly, as you've discussed, that 26% figure, that is of those under 30 who are prepared under certain circumstances to justify suicide bombings in order to defend religion, is a troubling issue. Whether it comes from Muslims or others, but in this case, of course, we're talking about the response to of Muslims to the survey. And thirdly, there's something that's been overlooked, Brian, which I think is important also for NPR and other media outlets. The Pew study finds that there are 2.35 million Muslims in the United States. That's a figure that's been debated for many years. NPR, for example, has often used the figure of 6 million. And a number of Muslim groups and others have used figures ranging from 6 to 12 million, in fact. So I hope that this figure, which actually bears out earlier studies that AJC conducted through the University of Chicago and that were conducted by the Graduate Center at the City University of New York in 2001, will now become the accepted figure for the population of the United States.
Why is that important to you?
Because numbers have meaning, and numbers have been manipulated. There's no question about that. The effort has been to try and achieve additional, if you will, clout and power. And under normal circumstances, there's nothing wrong with it. But when it's based on falsehoods, I mean, I go back to as early as 1996, when the Secretary General of the Islamic Society of North America insisted that there were 6 to 8 million Muslims in the United States. And I can go all the way up to the present and invite your listeners to go to the PBS website and check out Frontline, and they'll find that Frontline itself refers to some 5 to 12 million.
Okay. Dr. Bukhari, what about the number that your survey found as an estimate for total U.S. Muslim population less than the prevailing estimates? What do you make of it?
No, first of all, the Pew also suggested that because it's not only the survey is concerned, but the overall, but these numbers are not definite. There are different point of views or different research is going on. Unless we have a question in the census, I think that issue cannot be resolved. There is a different estimate of Jewish population, different estimates of Catholic population, different estimate of evangelical population. And sometimes those, if you just the range, there's a millions of range. I mean, the evangelical population are being estimated 77 million to 100 million. Jewish population 5.2 million to 7 million and some other. Catholic also 22% to 26%. So the issue is that that issue cannot be resolved unless we have a question in the census, as the in England, in Canada, in Australia, I think all these advanced countries they do include all these this type of question in their census.
Okay, let me jump in.
Estimate, but there are other estimates also. They are putting more than 6 million numbers.
I'm going to leave that dispute there. And Lena Al-Husseini, I want to ask you to react to what Dr. Harris was saying about the 9/11 number. I don't have that number in front of me. I'm looking for it. I have all the questions. Maybe Dr. Bukhari, if you tell me what question number that was, I can find it. But apparently some surprising percentage of American Muslims do not believe that Arabs were responsible for the 9/11 attacks. What do you make of that?
I don't understand it, frankly, to be honest. I have no idea how that was the question was phrased, what is meant by it. So I really have no comment. I mean, in my case, I'm as surprised as everyone else by that answer. So I don't know. Maybe Dr. Bukhari can give us more information on the way it was phrased. The question was.
Dr. Bukhari, you have that one?
Yeah, no, I am also looking at, because there are so many questions. But I'm looking for. But that's very interesting. One thing actually overall is. That is the issue. Is that the that is not the issue. That's the
here. I have some numbers. Let me just give our listeners some numbers. This is from the New York Post description yesterday. It says among the poll's other disturbing findings was that only 40% of U.S. Muslims believe that Arabs carried out the 9/11 attacks. Another 28% don't believe it, and 32% said they had no view. Now that's a pretty interesting number in itself, but 28% don't believe it. 32% said they had no view. Lena Al-Husseini, I mean, you represent an Arab American family support organization here in New York. Does that completely baffle you?
Yes. The short answer, I really am surprised by that answer. So I offer no explanation because I don't even understand the answer. And I'm just curious about the way that the question was phrased. I think that might shed some light.
Okay, I'm still looking for it. But Dr. Bukhari, do you want to say anything about that, or how about Dr. Harris? Anything more about that?
Let me say one thing. Actually, this is the credibility of the American government is at stake on that issue. I think if you ask the same question in Europe in general public, you will find this type of ambiguous answer about that issue.
No.
Even in Europe, I think a lot of this propaganda on the internet and all those things are going on that issue.
Well, not to that degree.
I'm sorry?
I wouldn't think to that degree.
Okay, let's see if any survey, I didn't research that any survey has been done on that issue or not.
Okay, and Dr. Harris, on this question of the 28%, the 26% of those under 30 saying they would sometimes or under rare circumstances in order to defend Islam support suicide bombings or other attacks against civilians. It's one question out of many. It's gotten a lot of press attention. But let me ask you about the context in this way. One could argue that all communities would say that they would kill under rare circumstances to defend itself. Is this any different?
Look, I think, firstly, it would be of concern, irrespective of what religious community we were talking about, Brian. But I think it becomes especially significant in the current global context. I mean, at this stage of the game, I'm sorry to say that most of the suicide bombings taking place around the world, tragically, are being done in the name of Islam and not in the name of other religions. So when 26% of younger people under the age of 30 say that under some circumstances they can justify it, then I think we have to take it seriously, again, because we're not talking in the abstract. We're talking in a situation where you can open any day's New York Times and see suicide bombings going on from Pakistan to Afghanistan to Iraq to the current tragedy in Lebanon and, of course, to Gaza.
And Fort Dix, but
and bring it home. So I don't think we can simply render it abstract or seek to rationalize it. It would be a problem in any religious community, but I think in particular, responsible Muslim leaders like your guests today need to help us not only understand it, but even more importantly, grapple with how to deal with it in a way that turns the views around.
May I say, Brian?
Dr. Bukhari?
Yeah, one thing I think, first of all, is the issue of the, when we say then the globally, and the University of Chicago professor, probably Richard Pape, he wrote a book on, book title is Dying to Win. He analyzed all those suicide bombing from 84 to till maybe today or maybe 1 or 2 years before. And he concluded with analyzing all those, absolutely no relationship with religion, number one, and absolutely relationship with occupation. Most occurred in Tamil Tiger in Sri Lanka. So that's not the issue related with Islam. That's a political issue. That's not a religious issue. Mm-hmm. So I think definitely we should discuss that.
Well,
but I think all those extreme point of view or any extreme point of view is a reaction to certain policies. So, for example, if you ask any other community, for example, in American Jewish community, how many are supporters of different policy of settlement or eviction of Palestinian from that?
Brian, I think we're here.
There are more support on that issue.
Hang on, Dr. Harris, let me ask that question. I don't want you two to go around on that necessarily, but let me ask you that question in a slightly different way. Again, on all communities saying they would kill, if necessary, under rare circumstances, to defend their community. Israel doesn't have suicide bombers against the Arabs, but they're tough on innocent Palestinian civilians in many ways for Israel's self-defense, as they see it, bulldozing homes, sometimes bombing blocks to kill terrorists where they know innocent people are also going to be. The U.S., in order to defend itself after 9/11, undertook the shock and awe campaign at the beginning of the Iraq War. They knew some civilians would die in the midst of that, but they considered it necessary for the defense of the United States. It just in terms of the answer to a survey question, is it that different?
Oh, Brian, I think it's very different, and I think in a way we're veering away from the central question here by trying to find...
Well, if the central question is how suspicious should other Americans be of American Muslims or young American Muslims, because I think that's the central question as it's gotten discussed in the press over the last day, that is a central question, isn't it?
It is a central question, but also this notion that some are trying to suggest that this is really not about religion whatsoever. I think your guest said this is about occupation. Well, you know, tell it to those on the British metro system, or the Spanish rail system, or the intended targets at Fort Dix, or let's ask the question: who exactly was under occupation on 9/11, and why did 3,000 Americans have to be killed in the name of Islam?
May I interrupt a little bit? I mean, I guess what
we're actually going to run out of time in two minutes. But Lena Al-Husseini, go ahead.
Brian, can I finish my thought?
Okay.
I also think it's unfair, Brian. I think you suggested in your question to somehow equate what the United States or Israel may be doing with suicide bombings in any respect. What the United States and Israel, as democratic nations, are doing, are seeking to defend themselves in extraordinarily difficult circumstances and are not deliberately targeting civilians. Civilians tragically may be caught in the fire, largely because terrorists use civilians as buffers. It's a very different situation than cold-heartedly and calculatedly going to the World Trade Center or the British Tube System or the Spanish Rail System or a discotheque in Bali and deliberately, cold-bloodedly seeking to murder innocent people for the sake of murdering innocent people.
Okay.
In the name of religion.
And thank you for that distinction. The Lena Al-Husseini, you'll get a last word here. And I found the question on the September 11th. It is worded in a straightforward way. Do you believe that groups of Arabs carried out the attacks against the United States on September 11, 2001, or don't you believe this? 40% said they believe it, 28% of American Muslims said they did not believe it, 32% said they don't know or they refused. Now, an interesting comparison, in Britain, just 17% of British Muslims answered the same question, that they believed Arabs carried out 9/11. 56% said they did not believe, and another 27% refused. So just give me a quick take on that, and then we're out of time.
I tend to agree with Dr. Bukhari. I guess it gives an indication of the distrust in terms of media, you know, in terms of the investigation and media reporting. I'm personally very surprised. So I can't even explain that to you, but that's my take on it.
Okay. We're obviously not going to resolve all of this today, but a very good discussion, and I think we've managed to get much deeper below some of the surface level conversation that's taken place elsewhere on this. So I thank all three of you.
Thank you.
David
thank
Harris, you, Executive Director of the American Jewish Committee, Zahid Bukhari, a Pew Research Center consultant and professor at Georgetown, and Lena Al-Husseini, Executive Director of the Arab American Family Support Center here in New York. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, the future of diversity in higher education. Lee Bollinger, Lonnie Guinier, and Ted Shaw compare notes. Stay tuned.